Well, good morning to each and every one. As Kenny already rightly said, it is wonderful to see several of our members who are back with us today who have not been with us for some time. We rejoice that we can be together to worship and praise our God. And for those who are tuning in from home, we continue to rejoice for you and your good health as well, and that you too are worshiping God this morning. I ask you to turn your Bibles to Galatians 6 for one more passage or one more lesson. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to finish our short series from that passage this morning. We have been focusing on the call that we have to bear each other's burdens. And what we've noticed so far in this short series of lessons is that there is a particular kind of person that can bear a burden. That we who are to be spiritual, those who are following in the ways of God, being molded into the image of God, these are the people that can, in fact, bear burdens. In our last lesson in this series, we looked at various ways of how we can bear burdens. But today we want to look at the end goal. That's what the apostle says in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 1, where he says, "If anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness." We want to look at the idea of restoration. This is the goal. This is what we're striving to do for each other. What does this mean? Well, I ask you to consider this morning, first off, what is it that our Lord has done for us? We just commemorated in the Lord's Supper the fact that we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. In fact, in His giving instructions in giving the Lord's Supper, our Lord said in Matthew 26 and verse 28, that this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for the forgiveness of many. And so we celebrate, we praise God for the fact that in Christ there is forgiveness. Sins are wiped away. But as we've said before, brethren, if that's all we think that Christ has done for us, then we are missing the mark. We are failing to comprehend what God has purposed for us in Christ. It is more than simply the removing of stains and of sin. Consider what our Lord said in John 10, verse 10, the passage where we refer to Him as the Good Shepherd. He calls Himself the Good Shepherd. And what is His purpose? "I came that they may have life, and they have it abundantly." And throughout the New Testament, what we read about Christians, those who are in Christ, is this idea of new life. The well-known encounter with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. What's the whole purpose of that encounter? When Jesus says to Nicodemus, "Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." He was born of the water and spirit. It's new life. It's a new birth. Well, consider what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." We've noted earlier in a different lesson, Romans 6 and verse 4, that when we are raised from baptism, when we have been buried with Christ, we are raised to walk in newness of life throughout the New Testament. This concept is given over and over again, that in Christ, yes, wrongs are forgiven. Sin is removed. We're pure again, but we're made new. There is new life in us. Consider one other passage with me this morning. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Go ahead and turn there. Oops, sorry, I got ahead of myself. Here are the dual concepts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. When Paul says to the Corinthians, reminding them, the various activities that they cannot be engaged in and inherit the kingdom. And then when he says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of our God. To be sanctified and to be justified is not just a different way of saying the same thing. No, he's talking about two different things. They both happen in Christ, but they're different things. To be justified, the New Living Translation simply says to be made right with God. And that's the idea. The forgiving of our sins, to be brought back into a right relationship with God. Sin no longer stands between us. We are no longer deserving of the divine justice and wrath of God. We've been justified. We've been made right with our God. But to be sanctified, well, that's the process of becoming like our God. What God had said to His people in the Old Testament, Leviticus 11 and verse 45, you are to be holy because I am holy. The call that's given to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. The same call to be holy as He is holy. This is what happens in Christ. We are justified, made right with our God, and we are sanctified. We are made holy, becoming more and more like our God. Now turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Where in verse 4, the apostle has made the point that the promises of God has made this possible, that we are partakers of the divine nature. Again, this is in keeping with the rest of New Testament teaching. In Christ, there is a new birth. We are raised from the burial of baptism. We are to walk in newness of life. Those who are in Christ are now new creatures. Peter is saying much the same thing. That this sanctification that happens in Christ, we are becoming partakers of the divine nature. We are becoming like He is. But then he goes further. What does this mean? We are becoming partakers of the divine nature. How does that occur? Well, he continues in verse 5. For this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. And if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. This is sanctification. We have been made new creatures. We have been given new life, a new birth. We are become partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, therefore, continue to grow, continue to add those virtues that are found in verses 5 through 7. Faith, moral excellence, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. We add those things. Through the help of God, through the counsel of the Scripture, we add those things in our lives. And when those qualities are there, what does He say? The entrance into the eternal kingdom will be not grudgingly given, not in some very difficult way made open to us. No, abundantly supplied. In other words, as we become more and more like God, guess what the end result is? We get to be where God is. That is the natural progression of what happens in Christ. We have been justified by His blood, sins forgiven, and we are sanctified because of the life that we find in Him. And we've gone through all that for this reason. That is what Christ has done for us. So what is it that Christ wants us to help each other in? There's a reason why, in verse 2, when he says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What are these burdens seeking to do? They're seeking to take us away from the life, the abundant life that Jesus has promised. Consider even the parable of the sower in Matthew, the 13th chapter. And you recall, of course, that two of those soils that seed fell on, one was rocky ground, one was thorny ground, thorny soil. Both received the word at first and grew. There was life there. But in the case of one, tribulation discouraged it, and it died. In the case of the other, the things of this world, the temptations of this world, choked it out, and it died. What does Satan use burdens for? Satan uses burdens to kill the new life that God's people find in Him. What's the law of Christ? To love each other. Why is it that in Christ's teaching there's such an emphasis on our need to love each other? Because He knows Satan is trying to kill the new life that is found in His people. And what can be done? We can love each other. We can bear these burdens. We can prevent some from falling away. We can bring others back who have fallen away. His purpose is that we have life. But again, what is the end result? Restoration. We are looking to restore such a one. So let's conclude this morning by looking at just a couple of principles of what is involved in restoring such a one. First, so we've already seen with Christ, it means more than forgiving. It won't surprise you, probably, me to tell you that my sons have some difficulty in keeping their rooms clean. And they come back quite honestly. Now, if you know me at this point in my life, you know that I'm kind of a neat and orderly person. Don't judge the outside of my car. I can't help the pollen. But yeah, I like to keep things fairly neat and fairly tidy. Not so much when I was young. So my sons, they have that issue as well. They know that clothes are supposed to go in certain places. They rarely make it there. They fancy themselves to be collectors of sorts. They collect random bits of paper sometimes, it seems. And those things are just kind of scattered wherever. Now, what has happened before is mom and dad get in there because we're tired of it and we set things right. And we have forgiven them for making their rooms a disaster area. And we have now put everything back in order. And you already know what happened just a day or two later. It is right back to where it was. And why? Because we didn't change them. And I don't know when that change is going to take place, but eventually there's going to be some changes that take place in them. Whether it be more instruction in how to do this, whether it be some encouragement in various ways, maybe even some privileges taken away when things are not done correctly, or maybe it's just showing what is truly valuable and what's not. No, you don't have to keep that Pokemon wrapper anymore. You've got the cards. Throw the wrapper away. But at some point in their lives, they're going to be different. Well, again, Christ didn't just tidy up the room. Yes, He forgave us. Yes, He set everything right again. But He's also making us different. How are we going to restore? We forgive. When there's a trespass, and again, Galatians chapter 6 has at least primary application to one who is caught in a trespass. And so someone who is burdened with sin, what they first need to know is that, yes, there has been forgiveness. The slate is, in fact, wiped clean. They need to know that. They need to experience that in God's people. But that doesn't make full restoration. Full restoration, again, is to be as God is. To be living holy lives, not simply to have wrongs forgiven. So when we're looking to restore those who are caught in a trespass, yes, forgive. But understand, there's got to be more that comes after forgiveness. Second, follows right along with it, we're not looking at quick fixes. We can't be. Brethren, if they open up to us, whether it be with a spiritual problem, whether it be with a sin or temptation they're dealing with, or whether it just be some kind of burden in life. Yes, again, the forgiveness may happen immediately, or if it's a trial or a burden, we may pray with them right then and there. There's some things that can happen immediately to help them on the road to restoration. But restoration doesn't happen quickly. How quickly does our restoration to the image of God occur? Christ set us right with God when we were first baptized. And yet, what do we read throughout the rest of the New Testament? What do we read of Paul in Philippians? He is pressing on. Every day, not looking behind, but pressing on, pressing forward to the goal. What do we read in 2 Peter chapter 1? What are we to be adding to ourselves every day? Faith, moral excellence, perseverance, godliness, on down the line. And then the entrance of the eternal kingdom is abundantly supplied to us. Our restoration to the full image of God is something that's happening throughout our Christian walk. The process of being sanctified, of being recreated in the image of God, is occurring in each one of our lives as long as we're in Christ. And so when we're dealing with a brother or sister who's caught in a trespass, we forgive, we do that first, and then we aid them into the new life of God. And we continue to help them as long as they're walking with God. So how can we do that? Well, we're going to have to help each other lead holy, sanctified lives. And I will just offer this morning two ways in which we do that. The first, and perhaps maybe we look at this in the wrong way sometimes, but there's no substitute for Scripture. Now, we can look at this the wrong way. We can say, well, you know, you just read your Bible and things get taken care of. Well, granted, yes, someone who's struggling, whether it be with sin, whether it be with trial, whatever it may be, they do need to begin reading their Bibles. That will help. But I think we also need to perhaps guide them into reading their Bibles. Depending on what the situation is, whether we're dealing with sin, whether we're dealing with trial, we need to point them to specific passages. Why don't you read this? Why don't you dwell on this week, and we'll talk about it. For instance, you know a brother who's succumbed to sin. Maybe that brother has lost sight of what's available in God. So maybe I ask that brother, read Romans 6, 20 through 23. You ponder Romans 6, 20 through 23. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? for the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Maybe ask that brother, read that. Ponder that. Unless you and I talk about that. Maybe it's a brother who's dealing with a spiritual burden. They're discouraged. Maybe they've lost sight of the fact that God will be faithful to His promises. So maybe I encourage them to read Hebrews 10:23, or Romans 8:31-39. When they read that, they're going to read that we are to hold fast the assurance of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And they're going to read that in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Say, brother, read that. And ponder what God has promised and who God is. And let's talk about that. Or maybe it's a brother or sister with a physical burden. Maybe they've been sick for some time. Maybe they wonder why, despite all their prayers, healing has not come. Or maybe they're even facing the prospect of death themselves or death of a loved one. Maybe we read together 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, where Paul, after he had petitioned the Lord three times to remove his thorn in the flesh, and the Lord replied to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Or we read together 1 Corinthians 15 and beginning in verse 54, that when this perishable will have put on the imperishable and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And what we do every time we read, every time we ponder, meditate on these things, discuss these things, we are looking at the greatness of our God as compared to any circumstance in this life. How can we restore such one? We restore them back to God. And we constantly remind them, this is the God we are serving. This is why we press on. But there's also the practical side. We looked at 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 10, we are told that as those who practice such things, those virtues that are found in verses 5 through 7, faith and moral excellence and godliness and perseverance and love and brotherly kindness, these things are to be practiced. Or consider the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. But even in that case, we are told in verse 16 that we are to walk by the Spirit. And again in verse 25, it is those who are walking by the Spirit. They are those who live by the Spirit. So in these things that are a process, are part of our sanctification, of being like God, these are things that are practiced in our lives. They're not simply qualities that are part of someone. No, they're seen, those qualities are. Those who have been burdened need to practice, need to live out their Christianity yet again. They need to put focus in godly directions. As that focus is in practicing godliness, then perhaps even the desire to do wrong is lessened. So what is one of the greatest things you and I can do to help restore a brother? Help them practice their faith. What works of ministry are you doing? What works of ministry can you begin doing? Who else can you involve in your work? How can you help restore others who are burdened by channeling their efforts and their energies now in the service of God, in the service of His people, service even to the world? In doing that, we are helping each other bear the fruit of the Spirit. We are helping each other exhibit the qualities that are part of the divine nature. We're aiding each other in being restored to the holy image of God. So how can I restore such a one? I forgive. But then we continue to work and to live in Christ together, pointing each other to Scripture, to God, who He is and what He has done, and then helping each other work to show the fruit of a godly life in our lives. Again, the end goal is restoration. And that's God's end goal for us as well. Restoration begins, though, with forgiveness. You have to be justified in order for you to be sanctified. And forgiveness is found in Christ and in Christ alone. This morning, we are offering that forgiveness to be found for you. You can have your sins forgiven by the blood of Christ, which has already been shed. You put your faith in Him, repent of your wrongs, let Christ, His blood, forgive you of your sins in baptism, knowing that then you are raised to walk in newness of life. You are now a new creature. You are sanctified. And sanctified people continue to grow in the ways of God, to be holy as He is holy. If we can aid you this morning, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Silence calls, freedom rings, over heaven and sea, bidding us touch the grounds above. While the light from the throne shines through.